from you tonight and from your word and from all the scriptures that will encourage them and teach them what they need to know. And I pray, God, just be a blessing during that time. Bless the rest of us as we look into the studies in the book of Acts. Now, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll give them a moment while they're slipping on out. We'll give you an opportunity to take your Bible and turn over to the book of Acts. We're going to continue in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And we will pick up where we left off last time with verse number 13. We got that far, and we just got an introduction to the things that are going on the day of Pentecost, just a little bit of those things, but we'll push a little bit further tonight. Now, these things in this area, as far as chopping them up, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to cover, but it all kind of works together. So we're gonna look at verses tonight, go verses 14 through 37, just because of the idea and the thought that it's covering here. As a matter of fact, you remember from last time we got just kind of introduced into the book of Acts in chapter number 2 about the church. We talk about, and a lot of folks say that was the birthday of the church. And there's some other folks that say they think it might have been there in Matthew 16 where Jesus is talking to his disciples. But whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. We're not gonna argue or debate that thought. We're just going to say this, you know, this is the time of the church. This is the action date that the church begins to start doing the things that it's going to do, what it's called to do. So we are looking at how all that came about. And if you remember in the first part of this, as we read these first 13 verses last week, the Bible says here's the day of Pentecost has fully come. And when that day has come, they're all filled with the Spirit. And that's the part that we looked at. We saw how that here's all of these folks that are in Jerusalem at the time this event happens to those folks that are gathered in an upper room. And as that unfolds, you see that the power of God has come on a special group of folks, about 120 of them, that are gathered there in the upper room. And now you see that it's Peter and the apostles are standing, and they're getting ready to preach from the Word of God. So let's look at that, if you will. Start with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and a vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. And he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, whom God hath raised up, where we're all witnesses, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for just letting us meet here tonight and enjoy the Word of God. Look through it. I pray now you just speak to our hearts. Show us the things that we need to know and give us the understanding, the wisdom of the Scripture. Let us see Jesus above everything else. And I pray, Lord, you just bless those that are watching us on Facebook tonight. Give them wisdom and insight and help. And if there's somebody that needs to be saved, speak to their heart. Show them what they need now. And again, we'll thank you. We'll give you praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, I want you to look at this section here. Now, this is pretty long, and I know that that was a long reading, but as I said, it all goes together. I mean, it's kind of hard to chop it up and do very much with it, but there's just a lot here that we need to say, and it probably would be better to go a lot slower, but we're gonna chop it up and look at it, and you chew it up and swallow it, okay? We'll get the good stuff out of it, but what I want you to see here tonight is the preaching of Peter. Let's look at the preaching of Peter. The preaching of Peter. Peter does preach the first message that we find after the day of Pentecost. Now, you wonder about Peter if he's been doing some preaching before. Well, he'd gone out as Jesus had sent out his disciples, and whatever they did, and I guess probably that was preaching because the Bible said that Jesus sent them out two by two, and they went preaching the gospel, and then, they were around him. So Peter's been around the idea and the fact of preaching. But let me tell you, preaching's different when the Holy Ghost shows up on it. Amen? And that's what you got here is the fact that Peter is preaching under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit of God. I like that. I mean, I like to read it and understand it and see it that way because here's this group of men now, as we looked at last week. They're seeing these strange things when the Spirit of God comes on all of the apostles and all of those that are gathered in the upper room. And these men come down and it says they're speaking in all these different languages. If you remember that, we talked about that last week. Out of every nation where these people that were assembled could hear it in their own native tongue. And they were wondering, what is this? How is this happening? What does this mean? And then, as you remember, the very last part in verse number 13, it says, others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they were saying, oh, they're just a bunch of drunks. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost will make you do some funny stuff, but it won't be like a drunk man in this world. Amen? So Peter begins in his preaching, and he's the spokesman, and it seems like naturally falls to him to be the man to preach this first message. So as Peter gets started, he looks out and he says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my word. First of all, he says, let me get your attention, please, is what he does. He said, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. He said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, usually people are going to drink. It's usually later in the day, and they don't start out their day doing that. It's what Peter's saying. He said, here we are at 9 o'clock in the morning. These guys are not drunk. But don't you notice what he does say? Verse number 16, he said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. First thing I want us to look at tonight in the preaching of Peter is, first of all, look at the thing that he does first is give an explanation. You see an explanation. Peter is now ready to explain what's going on. I mean, he's getting ready to open up to them and tell them what they're seeing and what it's all about. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is something, and this is what it is, if you will. This is, first of all, I want you to notice what he says. He says, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet, by God's prophet Joel. I mean, that they were well enough versed that they knew their Old Testament Bible. Amen. These men particularly. I mean, here they are. They're all gathered in Jerusalem. They're there to worship. They've been exposed to the Scriptures. They knew the Word of God. So here is Peter standing up. And he said, let me tell you what this is. This is that was spoken by God's prophet Joel. He said, this is a word of God that was prophesied for this particular situation. Well, what was it? He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. This is as if he's quoting that Bible passage. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon shall into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter says, let me give you my scripture we're going to start with. Amen. I mean, Peter says, this is that was prophesied by God's prophet Joel. He said, if you're wondering what's going on, let me clear this up. Let me give you an explanation of what you are witnessing. He said, this is something that was prophesied. This is that was prophesied in the Scriptures. I mean, listen, you can go back to the book of Joel and you can search this down for yourself, and you'll see that here he is quoting these verses, and he's saying, this is what you got. Amen. You know, I like it when the Scriptures line up with what's going on in our day, don't you? I mean, what's going on in people's life? It's good when the Scriptures all line up and give us a clear indication of that. And that's what Peter said. Peter said, hey, this has been prophesied by the prophet of God many days ago, and now you're getting to see it. Now notice what he saw, or what they saw. He said, this is that which was prophesied. But not only that, he said, this is that which was to be poured out upon God's people. You see that? He said, now first of all, it's what was been prophesied. But he said, look, here it is. Verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. So what does that tell us? Well, that tells us we're in the last days. I mean, in that time, the church age began the last days. Now, when you say last days, a lot of folks get the idea of, oh no, we've just got, you know, a few days, a few hours, a few months, a few years, whatever it is. Well, you can't put a time limit on that. As a matter of fact, that's what the Lord had just got through telling them back in chapter number 1. Don't worry about the days and the time. God's going to take care of that. Nobody knows that. And we're not supposed to be predicting that. We're not supposed to be getting into that. He said, but Peter now says, these are those days. This is that time. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, they knew these verses. They knew these verses. As a matter of fact, listen, he said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he said, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. He said, this is what you're seeing right now. This is that where God is going to pour out on his people. And look at this. Notice this, just as a little fine tuning in this. But you'll notice what he says to them. He says in verse 17, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Okay? Now, A-L-L, all flesh. And he said, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Right? In the very beginning of this prophecy, it's a Hebrew prophecy. It's a prophecy to those that he's saying are your sons and daughters, your old men and young men. He's saying your. In other words, he's specifically saying it to the people of Israel. He's saying it to the Hebrews. But look what else he said. It's almost like you think, well, why did he say that again in verse 18? He said, and on my servants. Oh, that's a little different, isn't it? And on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Part of it is to make sure the people in Israel understand it's for them, but it's also for God's people too, his servants and his handmaid. Who is that? That goes on to the Gentiles. Part of it's for the Hebrew, but part of it's for the Gentiles. And he said, this is that. You're seeing it. And you're seeing this part of it, which is to the Jewish nation, to the Hebrew people. You're seeing that. But this is going to go on from here. Some things are about to happen beyond this. Now, it hasn't happened yet for them, but we know just a little while things begin to break loose. I mean, it isn't very, very much further on till you see here's Philip up in the area of Samaria, and he's preaching. And them bunch of heathens up there getting saved. Amen. Amen. A bunch of heathens. That's what they thought of them as. They're getting saved, and God poured his spirit out. If you remember, hey, there's that Ethiopian eunuch. Philip's been preaching up in Samaria, but now God's going to send him down to the little desert area in Gaza where there's just one man going back down to Egypt, and he said, I want you to go, the Spirit said, I want you to go down there and preach to him. Hey, and he goes down, preaches to him. That guy gets saved. So it's beginning to spread out, and he said, this is what that is. This is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is that which is poured out on God's people. And then he said, this is that which is able to produce, only able to produce God's salvation. You see that? He said, I'm going to show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Sun's going to be turned darkness, moon into blood, for that great and notable day of the Lord come. I want you to understand this while we're reading that, is that there are some things in prophecy in the Old Testament. Some of them happen now, and some of them happen later. And this is a later part right here. This is going to come. This is that notable day of the Lord. That means that's when the Lord Jesus comes back and straightens this world out. You know what people are looking for right now in our day? We got everything going on in the news headlines, and everybody says, oh, who can straighten this stuff out? We need somebody. Thank God the only one who can straighten it out is the one who is going to straighten it out, and that's the Lord Jesus himself. Nobody else is going to straighten it out but him. And that's going to come one of these days on that great and notable day of the Lord. But then notice what he says in verse number 21. And it shall come to pass. This is still part of the prophecy of Joel. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you got that? You caught that? He said whosoever. He didn't say just Jewish. He didn't say just the people of Israel. He didn't say just those that are of the lineage of Abraham. He's saying whosoever. Whosoever. So he said, this is that. This is what this is all about. This is what that is that you're seeing. He said, this is what's able to produce the salvation that can only come from God. Amen. Aren't you glad that? Boy, that's the only way you can get saved. And this is what they're seeing. They don't understand it. They don't get it. They're like a lot of folks in the world are today. They don't understand what's going on. But hey, boy, I tell you, I'd just soon not understand it and feel it, be part of it, and then God probably would open it up to you and let you understand it sometime. Amen? So there it is, as Peter goes through that little section, there's an explanation. He is explaining to them what's going on. But not only do you see an explanation in those verses, but in the following verses, in verses 22 through 24, you see that Peter gives them an exposition of the scriptures. Look in verse number 22 and notice what he says. He says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now Peter says, let me expound this thought to you. Let me expand upon that. Let me tell you what else. He said, you've seen what this is. And this is the moving of the Spirit. He said, well, let me just clue you in on something else too. Let me just give you an exposition of this. First of all, he said, let me tell you about Jesus. Because that's what this whole thing is going to be about. It's going to be about Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of heaven. That's what he's saying. That's what this is all going to be about. And he says, first of all, he said, he is a man that was recognized among you. Do you notice that? He says, you men of Israel, in verse number 22, he said, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. He says, y'all know him. You remember him? He's the guy that did the miracles and the wonders and the signs. He is a man that is, he says, approved of God among you. You know how many people would say, well, what did Nicodemus say? Nicodemus says, Rabbi, he said, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do the things that thou do except God be with him. They knew. And well, even you look at the religious higher-ups and the high priest, and they would say that a notable miracle had been done. There's no way they could deny the things that Jesus did. They saw it. They knew it. He was recognized among them. And he says, they've done all these miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. In other words, Peter's saying, look, y'all know this. Y'all remember Jesus. Y'all know who he is. I'm not trying to preach to you about somebody you don't know. I'm telling you about somebody that you saw and that you witnessed the things that he did. You understand who he was when he was here. He said, you know who I'm talking about. He says, he was a recognized man by you. But second of all, he says, but he was a rejected Messiah by you. Look what he says in verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, you know who he was. He said, but let me tell y'all that. Y'all think y'all killed him? He said, let me tell you, God delivered him to this death. He said, but y'all took him by your wicked hands and by your wicked ways, your filthy ideas and all that. He said, your wicked hands have taken and you've crucified him and you slew him by your wicked hands. Amen? Boy, the Holy Ghost is driving the nail in on them, ain't he? I mean, he's hurting them right now. He's putting a nail in them, just like the Lord did on Saul before he became Paul. He was getting with him. And he says, You know who this is. He said he was the rejected Messiah by you. You all had him as your Messiah, but he was rejected. But then look at this in verse number 24. He said, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He said, not only was he a recognized man among y'all, he was a rejected Messiah by you. He is a risen Majesty that came back from the dead. He came back. He says, look, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Look at this. He says, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus died. I remember telling this and seeing this a long time ago. Brother Dwight Kilgore was teaching a lesson to us on that, and he drew these little stick men on the board, and he drew one little stick man, they called him Death, and he drew another and said, this is Jesus, and and Jesus is running after death. Jesus runs death down, grabs him and said, look, death, I need to bar you for about 3 days. But that's all. I mean, you're trying to run away from me because there's no death in me. Do you know that in him is life? Do you know the only thing in him is life? I mean, he is life. He is the way to life. He told Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Why is that? Because he's life. John chapter number 1, he reiterates over and over and over again, Jesus is life. And any life, he's the life that lighteth the whole world. He's the one that gives us life. And we're, you remember in John 11, we've talked about this a lot in John 11, where Jesus talks to Martha, and Martha said, well, I know my brother's going to live again in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Amen. He's life. He's life. So the Bible says here, God loosed him from the pains of death because it was not possible. It's impossible for him to be holden by the bonds and the cords of death. Death couldn't hold on to him. Just as long as he needed to hold on to death, till that prophecy that was written be come to pass, as the he says Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, even so the most of the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. When that time limit came, he said, I'm letting you go, death. I'm getting out of here. Amen? Hey, he is now, Peter preaches and says, he is the risen majesty that is living and still alive in heaven today, and that you should understand that. You need to understand who he is. He expounded the scriptures to them. All the things that they needed to know, and they understood. He said, this is what that spirit's about. He said, now let me tell you about Jesus. Let me get to the main part of a man. He said, as a matter of fact, let me just tell you a little bit more to back that up. Not only did he expound, but listen, he said, let me give you an exaltation that comes from the lips of David. Let me just tell you something that David was excited about and that the Spirit revealed to him. And the Spirit let him pin these words down. You see what he said in verse number 26? Verse 25. He said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Now he begins to give them the scriptures out of the psalm that David has written. And he said, now when y'all read this, y'all think you're reading about David. He said, continue on, thou hast made me made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, he said, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. I mean, David's not alive, he's saying. David's dead, and y'all know that, and his grave's out there. We know everything we know about David, and we know that he's dead and buried. So he's not talking about himself, is what he's saying. He's saying, look. He said, David is saying, look, in the beginning, David says, David gave a forecast. Amen? Verse 25, he said, for David speaketh concerning, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He said, let me give you a little forecast about what Jesus saw. And he began to go through this. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. He said, not only did I give him a little forecast, he said, I want you to get this. He said, let me just let you foresee some of the things that David did. Look there in verses 26, 27, 28. He says, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. He says, can I just tell you this? He said, here's something that David foresaw. He saw all of these things happening and by the Holy Spirit. All these things that's going to happen in the life of Jesus. He said, he has forecast it. He has foresaw it. He says, and not only that, you notice Peter says, let me be forthcoming with you about this. He says, men and brethren, let me freely speak. Let me be forthcoming about this. The patriarch David, he's dead and buried. His sepulcher's with us to this day. He said, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his own soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. He said, can I just tell y'all, hey, he said, this Jesus whom God hath raised up, whereof we're all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He said, for David's not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. He said, y'all think David's talking about himself? David wasn't talking about himself. He's talking about the Lord. This was a psalm that reflected on who Jesus was. That Jesus was going to die, but God the Father was not going to leave him there. He wouldn't let him go down into the grave and say, he's going to lift him up, and thank God he's going to raise him up again. David saw it. He said, I don't tell you, David wasn't talking about himself. You know, a lot of folks are saying, oh, well, preacher, that's just one of those psalms where David is talking about how God's good to him. Well, God was good to him, but this was a prophetic psalm that David wrote that recognized the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times we look at the scripture, and if you remember, Jesus is talking to those disciples on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke. And it says he opens up the scripture. What scripture did he open? Right there's a good one that he opened up. Amen? I mean, he told them. As a matter of fact, Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, he's talking about the resurrection. And he says that Jesus died according to the Scripture and that he rose again according to the Scripture. What Scripture? Scriptures like this right here. These tell us that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And you're saying, well, okay, preacher, big deal. We know that. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Those Jews in that day that Peter's standing there with them, they didn't know that. They knew the Scriptures, but it hadn't dawned on them exactly what all this was talking about. So that's why Peter says this. He says, for David's not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. He said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said, I want y'all to understand that this is what those scriptures mean. You've seen all of these things that have happened by the pouring out of the Spirit. And all of this is done so that you can understand that Jesus died for you. That Jesus died for your sins, like we've been preaching, in other words. And he says, not only that, God didn't leave him there. God raised him up. And now he has ascended into the heavens. And he said, and David hadn't ascended. He said, David didn't do that. David died and he's buried and that's it until Jesus came. But he said, that's what the scriptures are saying. So he gives an exaltation to them and says, let me just tell you about what David said and what that means. And then finally, you see an exclamation. Look in verse number 37, and you'll see the exclamation from this crowd. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, here's the end point of Peter's preaching at this particular stage. He's presented the gospel through the Old Testament scriptures to them to give them an explanation of what's going on right there before their very eyes. Peter's telling them. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do about this? I mean, look what it says. First of all, notice that you see their conviction. Verse 37, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That's old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. That's the same thing that got a hold of Paul out there on the road to Damascus when Jesus began to speak to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." He said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." In other words, the Lord was stinging him. Somebody said that word to prick means it's the same thing. They say that the Greeks talked about it in a way that a horse would stride and strike the ground when his hooves would hit. That it would be such a piercing and such a impact on the ground that it would leave an imprint. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost left an imprint on these men this day. And the thing about it is, that's how they got convicted. This is the first account of old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. A lot of folks say, "Well, preacher, you just don't have to have all that hullabaloo and people getting all tore up about sin." I believe you do. I believe you do. As a matter of fact, here's the very first preaching example of that. The first message preached through the church, if you will, with Peter preaching it, and these men are pricked in their heart. They got convicted about what they had done. Peter told him, he said, "You're the crowd that crucified Jesus. You're the bunch that put him in on the cross. You're the ones that put him in that grave. But thank God, God didn't leave him there. He raised him up, and now he's alive forevermore." Amen? And they look at him. I mean, they heard the whole message. And they looked at him, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" First of all, as I say, you see their conviction. Second of all, you hear their cry. What shall we do? I mean, this is a cry of they wanted to know what are we supposed to do about this? What can we do? What should we do? I mean, you know, most of us probably grew up hearing preaching and getting convicted. We knew what we needed to do, and we just had to let loose and do it. And they had no idea necessarily what they could do about the situation. But Peter was about to fill them in. He said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter tells them, "Repent. Be baptized. Get right with God. Get your sins cleansed and your hearts right in the sight of the Lord." I mean, he's about to tell them that. We'll get into that next week. But, I mean, you see their cry. And you see their cry because you and I also see their concern for what this means for them. See, that's what I want to see today is the same thing probably that happened to you, that happened to me. When you realize you is lost, and maybe you had that same thought, "What shall we do? What am I going to do about this?" There's a concern there that you know you're wrong. You know you're not saved. You know that if you stood before God, hey, you're found guilty of your sin. What shall we do? You're concerned. I like it. The next part to that is there's conviction, there's a cry, there's a concern, and then, thank God, finally, there's a conversion. Aren't you glad when you get to the conversion part? Hey, and that's what's going to happen to 3,000 of them that day. Now, I have no idea. We talk about, you know, there's a big crowd there. I don't know how big the crowd was, but could you imagine 3,000 folks getting their hearts broken, getting that prick from the Holy Ghost on their hearts, that sting, that it's a hurt. I mean, it's something that got them. And boy, when you get that, you know it. You ever been there? I have. I remember the Holy Ghost getting a hold of me and letting me know who I was and what I was and that I wasn't right. And boy, when he hit me, it was just like the old song they used to sing, "Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?" Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this evening, if you would. Hey, I'm telling you, there's